Blog Talk Radio.
Her Unfolding Journey with your host, Mark Zumple,
is a show for women in today's world. Mark is a spiritual relationship coach and a passionate consultant dedicated to empowering women to embrace their divine sensuality and experiencing the gift they truly are. Mark creates a safe space for women to share their inner self and provides tools to help women as they unfold on their journey. For more information on Mark, please visit his websites at www.herunfoldingjourney.com and www.thismanknowspassion.com.
Now please welcome your host of Her Unfolding Journey, Mark Zumple.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Her Unfolding Journey. I am Mark Zumple, your host, and as always, I am deeply honored that you are taking a time out from your journey to be a part of mine and share a little bit of it with us tonight. And I have a really wonderful guest that I am very excited to share with you all tonight, and he will be joining us shortly. But in the interim, while we're waiting for him, I can go ahead and give you a little bit of background. My friend is Michael Schuessler. He is an artist. He is Denver's sex and sensuality expert, and he's the author of the book, The Holy G-Rail. And I had the honor of connecting with Michael a few years ago, actually, and I really loved his energy and his passion, especially around honoring and revering women and their sensuality and his passion for supporting them in that aspect of their journeys, which is something that's actually very near and dear to my heart. And I've actually read his book, The Holy G-Rail. It's a very quick read. It's a very straightforward book, but the benefits that are within that are pure gold. I'm not going to talk about it too much right now because I'd really like to go ahead and explore that further when Michael does come online. And hey, you know, this is how the journey unfolds. This is life and coaching. And sometimes, you know, a couple of things get in the way, but you know what? We just keep going. We just keep rocking and rolling, and the journey keeps flowing and it keeps unfolding. So my journey itself is definitely a clear testament to that. And the things that are happening in my world right now are absolutely amazing. The experiences I'm having, the people that I'm connecting with, and the amazing folks that I get to share time and energy with on my radio show. And speaking of, in perfect timing, our guest has joined us. Michael, you on the line?
I sure am.
Well, wonderful. Well, welcome to Her Unfolding Journey. Your ears should be buzzing right now because I just gave you one amazing introduction.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I added a zero on the 200, and it's like, there are no shows scheduled for today, and it's like, what? So I had one too many zeros. I called it like four times, and then I went back in, and it's like, oh, I added one too many numbers.
Not a problem. You got the job done. And like I said, we were just talking about you while you were trying to dial in. So if anybody asks you about the walking on the water and feeding the 5,000 with the few loaves, then that came from me, okay?
Okay.
Well, Michael, welcome to Her Unfolding Journey. It's an honor for me to share the space with you. It's very rare for me to actually have a guy on the show, so thank you for giving us this honor tonight.
Well, thank you so much for honoring me and having me be part of your show. I'm really excited, and it's a wonderful thing, definitely.
Beautiful. Well, hey, I know we got a lot of good stuff to share. Well, to get us started, why don't you tell us a little bit, first of all, about who you are, what you're about, and the magic that you bring to the space?
Okay. So, obviously, I'm Michael Schuessler. I am an artist, a writer, and I feel myself being really spiritual. I started in the arts field when I was young. I'm a painter. I picked up a technique that is, I'm actually the only one now who does it. My mentor, she passed on a couple of years ago, and which is pastel on canvas. But I started in the arts field, and it was funny. It started me on my journey. And when I began in that field, I was trying to paint things. One of my other mentors, I looked at him, Robert Strohmeyer, and I looked at him. I said, "So what should I paint? You know, airplanes, flowers, cars, because I could do it all." And he looked at me. He said, "Michael, it doesn't matter what you paint. Don't think about the money you're going to make. Think about what moves you." And that was one of the most important bits of information, and that's kind of why I'm sharing this part of my journey with your listeners, is that it really doesn't matter what you do, but if it moves you, it's going to move someone else, and more than likely it'll move more than one person, and that's the important thing. It's one of the real big lessons in life. Sometimes it's not all about the buck, although, you know, we all need to survive, and we all need to think about how we're going to provide for ourselves and our families on whatever level. But and if you can do it, something that moves you and is creative, and creativity comes in all different levels, not just the painting arts, the writing arts. It's things like what you're doing, Mark, and for this radio station, it's so important to do what moves you, and if it affects you, it's going to affect other people. So I got into my fine arts stage in life, started doing pastels on canvas. They're a little bit more abstract and spiritual. I started out with airplanes. you know, I did start out there, but I ended up moving into the skies and moving away from the planes, and I find it, you know, there's a sensuality in what I do, and no matter what I paint, there's a sense of sensuality, and it comes through that. Years later, life changed. I went through a breakup, a long-term relationship, had a beautiful daughter through it, and the economy changed, so art kind of took a back seat, and I had an epiphany with my new partner. You know, there were many before that, but I met a beautiful, beautiful woman who's a fantastic part of my life now, who prompted me, and that's where the epiphany for the Holy G-Rail came from, and the book I wrote, which is a book on sexuality and sensuality. The hook is the G-spot, but the reality of it is it's reading in between the lines, and it's how to get to that level of sexuality and sensuality within a relationship, and you need a whole bunch of other things to get to that level and to be able to experience that level, unless, of course, you know, it's one of those things that just happens because you have such a magnetism to your partner, and you're experiencing the physical side of passion and at such a level. But I had an epiphany, wrote the Holy G-Rail. I do believe all you ladies out there are the Holy Grail. And it's a funny thing, being an artist, when I was writing the book, it was 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. One of the nights I was up all night writing on it. There was a program on the Masters and Da Vinci, and I just looked at his painting, you know, The Last Supper. And they were mumbling stuff behind it, but I wasn't paying attention. I just turned around, looked at the beautiful work on the screen, and then, you know, turned off the sound again and continued to write. And, you know, come to find out, at, you know, that the whole Holy Grail thing and The Last Supper, Mary Magdalene supposedly being his, you know, there's a lot of different things going on there. But I had no clue about that when I wrote the book. And it's funny because after I published it, I had numerous people come up to me. Well, you know, Da Vinci did this painting and there's this whole other thing. And the reality of it is that's not where it came from. It came from spirit. And spirit is what drew me and told me to write the book. I'm a very shy guy usually, or I used to be, being a Pisces. And I still am. I mean, I get butterflies every time I do one of these shows. You know, because it comes from deep down within. And it's important to share these things with people because relationships, passion, spirituality, all of that stuff comes together, and it's such an important thing. And you know, the holy G rail is holy G spot, relating anatomy into lovemaking, and you know, it came out as a physical type thing, but if you read in between the lines, there's so much more in there. And you know, in the future, I plan on doing more and focusing more on the communication and the patient sides of things, the self-love aspect of intimacy. And I mean, you've really got to know yourself and be happy with yourself before you can expect someone else to give you happiness. And you know, those are the type of things that I touch base on within the book. So now I'm back onto a flow of artwork again. So I went to you know, artwork, then I went into the manual labor, supporting myself and family thing for a few years, doing art, had a gallery and on Larimer Street here in Denver, Colorado. But then the economy changed and the divorce ensued, and I started writing, and then I found the partner that I plan on spending the rest of my life with, and the arts back involved and helping people. I think it's, you know, sexuality is really easy for me to talk about, and it's a funny thing. You know, because it just came out of nowhere, and which means spirit guided me there, and it's really important for me to spread the word of the Holy G-Rail, you know. But
yeah, Michael, yeah, and you're doing an absolutely awesome job, and I love how you went from painting airplanes to writing books about G-spot orgasms. And, you know, when people can make that kind of a transition, that kind of gives everybody hope. And I got to say real quick about your book, yeah, I have read it and I have applied the techniques. And anybody listening, if you don't have a copy of Michael's book, please get yourself one, because it really will make an amazing difference when you utilize it in conjunction with the other things Michael was saying about the communication and the connection and the energy. It will really take your intimacy and your connection to a much more profound level. So, Michael, you've really given the world a gift with your work there, my friend.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm glad it worked for you on the levels that it did, you know, because some people, a lot of gentlemen out there. It's funny, when years ago I had another epiphany about the book, and I put Changing the World One Orgasm at a Time on the back of my vehicle in this sparkly gold scripted print, which is beautiful within itself because it sparkles in the sunlight. But, you know, it's such a profound statement. And everyone who drives by my car or is behind me sees it. And, you know, I've redone the lettering a few times over the years because it fades out. But I forget it's there sometimes. And it's the response I get from people. I've sold a lot of books out of the car, you know, in traffic jams. Like, what's that? And we'll pass books and money between the cars in a traffic jam, which is really funny. And other times, you know, being the shy guy I am, for me to put that on the car years ago was really a monumental point in my life. Because when you put the word orgasm on your car, you know, it changes the way people view you, you know, and people are always, you know, having question marks, you know, like, what do? Are you a porn star? Are you this? Are you that? And then I've got G on the sides because it's the G spot. And then a graphic of a naked couple together. You know, a simple graphic, but it's funny because I'll be in grocery stores and I'll have people come up to me when I park the car, how dare you? And they'll, you know, be really uptight and stomp away. And I'll go into the store going, you know, gosh, I feel bad that I made her feel this way. And then I'll come out and there'll be four people taking their pictures with it. And it'll wash away what that one person, you know, did. And it's pretty funny, the response of sexuality, you know, and how people respond to it. And I've learned so much by doing that for myself. And it enables me to really see, I mean, you really get an idea of how far society has come. And sometimes how little people have come. I'm not finding the words. You know, how some people haven't made it very far at all. And, you know, I mean, we're in 2013 now, and sexuality and sensuality, we all need to figure it out and not be so uptight about it. And just the word orgasm, you know, that is a bold word, you know.
True.
But at the same token, it opens eyes, it creates laughter, sometimes it creates anger, but it evokes emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, that was an area of my life, putting that on my car. I put myself out there, and sometimes these days, you know, when I start getting funny looks, I forget it's there. But then I'll see someone, you know, purposely slowing down and taking pictures through their windshield, you know, of the back of the car and stuff. And I get that a lot. And then I'll go, oh, that's what it is. And it's like, okay, you know, let's remind ourselves what I'm doing here and why it's there. And you know, I mean, it's been a really good growing point for me to put myself in a position of being out there, because when it comes to talking about sexuality and sensuality and how it works, it comes naturally, and I know that I was meant to write it, even though you know, it's not at the top of the New York bestseller times, you know what I mean? I mean, it's reached a lot of people, it's helped a lot of people, and it helps people on different levels. I've had friends that have read it, and a lot of gentlemen will, what's that about? Like in a parking lot, they'll come up and they're with their wives or girlfriends, and they'll say, what's that all about? Or the girl will say, you know, point at it and giggle, and then he'll say, what's that all about? And I'll say, it's a book on the G-spot. You know, it's about relationships. And, you know, it's funny. Two-thirds of the times, the guys will puff up their chest and say, oh, I know where that is. We don't need that. you know, but I'll see the look in the woman's eyes as they walk off, you know, which, you know, is that's that area in our society that, you know, the macho man, or, you know, and that's not all men, but, you know, there is a subsection of them still out there that are having a hard time dealing with it, and they pretend to know it, and they're unable to get directions, you know, like asking for directions if you're lost.
Michael, this is a guy who'll read a 400-page manual on his car, a 100-page manual on his VCR, but he won't read a compact book like yours about taking his partner into the stratosphere in the bedroom.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I made it very simple and very short and pocket size, because this is a society of not reading. A good majority of the society does not read, you know, and they'd prefer to watch a video. And actually, you know, before I wrote it, we were watching videos, which spurred us to experiment, which made the epiphany come around, which made it happen and made the epiphany come around. You know, so, I mean, there's a good place for everything. But I tried to keep it simple. You know, and I believe even in the back of the book, I used the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, I mean, we are all busy and we're all trying to keep our lives together. And there's a lot of couples out there that, you know, pick a day of the week to do their thing because of children and work and stress. And you know, I would hope that. You know, I've actually had couples come up to me and say, after reading the book and after sharing it together, we're more spontaneous now. You know, it was a Thursday night every third Thursday in the month. You know, that we put the kids at the babysitters and took the time to be together, but it was usually quick because we only had a couple hours. And, of course, you know, guys, if you're only doing it once every couple of weeks, it's going to be quick.
<You know>?
You know, you use it, or you lose it. I'm sorry. And it works for you ladies, too. You know, it's very important we keep our equipment tuned up. And that's mentally, emotionally, and physically. All of it combined. Spiritually, too. Let's not forget that.
That's a serious nugget you've given us all right there, Michael. I mean, you are right. A lot of couples, they are insanely busy with jobs, kids, families, commitments, etc. And they barely have time to, you know, have a meal together, let alone spend quality time. And it's not about the quantity. It is about the quality. Even if you only get 5 minutes to be with your loved one, you can have that most amazing connection in that small interval of time. And that's not rushing anything. It's not a quickie. But with techniques like you share in your book, you can instantly elevate it to this highest level of arousal and connection and really have an amazing experience in a very brief period of time.
You can, you know, and it's funny, even for the people that have disabilities out there. For any gentlemen out there with disabilities that aren't able to perform physically down there, the fact is I wrote the book, and I don't even really talk about intercourse within the book. I talk how to get to that area with your fingers and to learn what to feel for, what she needs to feel for also, because you can't just spring this stuff on your lover on the physical side of things. You know, when I did the handing out and before I published the book, you know, I besides my own experimentation and test groups, I handed it out to other couples, And one gentleman came up to me, a bar owner that I ate lunch with all the time. And he's like, you know, am I missing something here, Michael? And I went, well, what's going on? He goes, I just can't make it work. And I said, well, have you talked to her about it? He said, oh, no, I want to spring it on her. And I just started laughing. And you know, if he would have read the book really clearly, he, you know, and thought about it a little bit, the sensation you ladies feel when you're getting close to that is a sensation that would make you shut down, because it makes you feel like you've got to go to the bathroom. So, you know, I mean, and if you feel like you're going to have to go to the bathroom, you're going to stop. I mean, all you're thinking in your mind is going to be, I got to go, Let's stop. So it's never going to happen. So, you know, it boils back down to communication and talking with your partner and experiencing not only the G-spot, but any of the deeper levels of passion and sexuality, whether you're meditating together and trying to do some tantra stuff to where you release without a physical release, or whether you're just going for the physical bang, you've got to talk about it and you've got to understand what you're feeling and what your partner's feeling. And that way, there's no surprises and no one's caught up in their mind thinking, oh no, I'm feeling this, so I should do that and I need to stop. You know, because especially with the G-spot, it makes you ladies feel uncomfortable at first, because in the end, you know, you feel pretty much what we guys feel and when we release, and that's a totally different release than what you're used to. And I don't want to get too graphic, but
I'm going to need a cigarette if you keep talking.
It's like, I know there's a lot of ladies that listen to your show, so I'm keeping it at a very gentle level, and you ladies know what I'm talking about. And you gentlemen,
yeah, Michael,
you
know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you're doing a wonderful job of talking about it, Michael, and the way you're presenting it. And, you know, us guys, too, you know, we are very interested in pleasing our ladies, and it's so easy for us, too, to be thinking, oh, my God, like the gentleman you talked about, am I doing it right? Am I touching in the right place? So you're looking for her expression and the moaning and so on. And, you know, it's a fragile type thing when a guy's in that situation. So I want the ladies to know as well that, you know, it's a delicate time for guys as well to put ourselves in that particular situation. So if your man's trying and willing, give him a high five and some kudos, and don't be too hard on him if he doesn't find the sweet spot the first try.
Well, you know, you hit it on the you hit the head on the you got it. Because facial expressions, I mean, no matter how long you've been with a person, and you might be with your partner for 10 years, and you may think you know every thought that's coming through your partner's head, you know, and a lot of times we can read each other's minds, but there are times when miscommunication by just assuming your partner's thinking this or assuming your partner's feeling that, it can be very detrimental in our intimacy. And we always need to talk about it, even if it's a little difficult to talk about it, because there's a lot of ladies out there that have a hard time letting you know what you really feel. And there are some gentlemen out there also that have a hard time admitting that they need some help. And when it comes to the G-spot or this area, if you work together, that's what opens the doors. And whether it happens or not, the fact that you're trying and you're doing it creates a level of intimacy that should be respected and will be respected by each person within the relationship. A different friend of mine took it home to his wife, and he was doing it on his set Thursday. And he goes, you know, instead of just doing it the way we used to do, he said, my friend wrote this book, and I want to try it on you. And they did their thing, and at the end, she goes, it worked. And, you know, number one, it worked for him. And at the end, you know, she looked at him, and she goes, you know, you've done that before. And he puffed his chest up, and he's like, wow, all right, I'm the man, you know. He was all excited and stuff. She goes, you don't do it very often, but it has happened before. And he's like, well, how come you haven't said anything, you know? And the reality of it is in intimacy, you can feel excited and stuff, but if you don't tell your partner you're experiencing something different than the normal, they're really not going to know. And what it boiled down to for him was, you know, she ended up, they had their set day of the week or their set day, a couple days in the month. And that's what had been happening because of children and work and everything for years. And after he tried this, she started waking him up in the middle of the night. Totally out of the norm. You know, it re-sparked the fire, and he asked her, he said, like, what's going on? And it wasn't the fact that he hit her G-spot as much as it was the fact that he took the time to try something different on their intimate night, scheduled night, rather than the same old thing. He took the time to try something. They talked about it. It worked. But the fact that, you know, he talked to her about it and spent the time and you know, they had that communication about it, that's what made her start reverting back to the earlier parts of their marriage, you know, 10, 15 years earlier, 20 years earlier. They'd been married for a long, long time. You know, she started feeling that spice, that energy and that excitement, because he was willing to do something rather than please himself. And you know, working on the G-spot is definitely pleasing your partner. You know, she's going to please you afterwards, guaranteed. That's not an issue. Because when she's that happy, and it's a release that is unlike any other release, and it's funny because I've taken the book everywhere. I've done a lot of interviews, and there are still some people, women out there, and some, not that many, but that believe it's a total fallacy, that there is no G-spot and it doesn't work and forget you, and it's so sad for me to come across people like that. Because, number one, no one has taken the time to try to experience that with them. That may be part of the problem, or the fact that they have such a mental block, thinking that it doesn't exist, that it'll never happen for them, no matter how hard someone else tries. Because they just don't believe it exists. And they don't believe, you know, and I think it stems from not spending enough time with a partner who's willing to experiment openly with them, openly physically, mentally, emotionally, and, of course, spiritually, you know. And that's so important in sexuality and sensuality. And it really doesn't matter if you get to the G-spot. The fact that you're trying and you're experiencing each other and talking to each other and having that level of intimacy, that is going to bring you to a heightened sense of of sensuality within the relationship, and that will open so many more doors, and it will happen. It does exist. I mean, there were some guys in Europe that proved it with an ultrasound. So, you know, it's no longer one of those phantom areas within a woman. It does move around, but it's not phantom. You know, and it's just about talking to each other and knowing, her explaining what she's feeling to you, you explaining what you're feeling. My book's really clear on, I've got some illustrations in there, and I found a way to relate by texture and feel an area on my member, on the male genitalia, that feels similar to the same texture if you're excited and aroused. And so you can technically, actually, that's one of the exercises I have, gentlemen, is work it on yourself for texture and feel. And that way, when you work it on your partner, you know what to feel for. You're not just, okay, it's approximately here. You're actually looking for a texture. And when you find that texture, she can relate to you what she's feeling. And in the book, it tells you what she's supposed to feel. And that way, there's a give and take, and you guys work together on it, and it works. And you know, trying is the funnest part.
Yeah, Michael, I think you're absolutely right. I think you've just taken a lot of pressure off a lot of guys that are not thinking they're going to have to go be Indiana Jones in the bedroom, but go off on some quest to find the lost ark. And, yeah, I love what you were talking about with really willingness, just being open to try, being willing to experience something else. Even if you don't believe in it right now, just have that willingness that there is something there that can take your intimacy and your sexual pleasure to whole new horizons. And like you just beautifully said, if you don't believe in it, then you basically shut the door on yourself. So one piece of advice I give anybody listening is keep an open mind. You know, you may not know it, you may not quite believe it yet, but don't shut the door on it. Give it a try. Be open and be willing to experience it.
You know, and that works on all levels, too. I have had many mature women call me up and say, Michael, you know, I've never experienced an orgasm, period. Period. And some of them are in their late 50s, even older than that. And the first thing I tell them is, you've never experienced it. No, my husband won't do it for me. My boyfriends haven't done it. I can't keep a marriage because of it. And the first thing, you know, I tell them is to draw a warm bath and to start experiencing themselves. Because if they don't know what to feel for, how are they going to expect someone else to do it for them? You know, you've got to be comfortable enough in your own skin, and you've got to love yourself mentally, emotionally, and definitely physically, you know, in order to receive that from someone else. And that's a big stumbling block for you know, certain generations. They expect someone else to do it for them. And if you can't do it for yourself, how can you expect someone else to do it for you? Now, granted, the G-spot's a little bit more difficult because of hand position, et cetera, you know, there are instruments you can use, but nevertheless, you know, the fact is when it comes to release, you know, I implore you, regardless of your family history, what your mother and father have told you, what your pastor or priest has told you, you know, You know, we were put on this earth. We are human beings. Our bodies are our temple, and they're beautiful, and they're to be experienced. And if you're afraid to even look down You know, I mean, I've talked to some women who've never seen themselves. You know, they wash themselves and stuff, but they don't really look at themselves.
Wow.
You know, and that's a scary thing. And it's like, you've got to realize that you're beautiful. You know, each and every one of you. You gentlemen also, you know, I mean, you're beautiful and there's nothing wrong with your body and there's nothing wrong being physical with yourself because we were, you know, the creator, whatever you want to call that, put us here and we're here to experience. And until you experience something and find out that it's not for you, there's nothing wrong with it. It's only wrong when you have preconceived notions. And as long as it comes from a place of lovingness and your heart, that's the main key. You know, you've got to love yourself.
I totally agree, Michael. There's no way that a creator is going to give you something as mind-bogglingly pleasurable as a clitoris and a G-spot for you to just not do anything with it. The fulfillment is your birthright, and that's really the essence of the unfolding journey, is to achieve fulfillment in all levels of whatever is essential to you. And your sensuality and your sex life is an integral component of that. And yeah, at minimum, open yourself up to exploring it. You know, you may not need as much sex as, you know, Sally or John or whatever, and that's okay. But how much do you need in order to feel fulfilled, like you're running on all cylinders?
That's right. That's right. You know, you're not going to break it. And if you don't use it, you will lose it. I mean, not totally, you know, but there is a little bit of reality in to, you know, if I haven't done it for so many years, am I like a virgin anymore again? It's like you never turn into a virgin again, but it may hurt. It may hurt like the day you were, you know, deflowered the first time because you haven't used it in so long, you know. So, you know, I mean, experience yourself, love yourself. And if you feel uncomfortable, that's even more important. You know, that's how you unfold. You know, that's how you by pouring love into areas of your body that you feel are dirty or unclean or ugly or fat or whatever you want to call it, that's what's going to change those areas. No person is going to change that but you. And the only way you can do that is by pouring love into it. And if you pour love into it and realize that, wow, this isn't so bad, you know, No, I didn't get shot down by a bolt of lightning because I masturbated four times yesterday. You know, I'm still alive. My children are still alive. My husband's still alive, or wife, you know, whatever, however you want to work it, you know, and the world's still turning and everything's okay. So maybe I can do that again.
Absolutely. Hey, Michael, we got a caller, I think, who wants to join us and ask a question. Would you be cool to take a quickie?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hold on. Hello, caller. Last 4-4-1-3-5. You're live on Her Unfolding Journey.
Yes. Hello.
Hi there. Who's
hello?
This?
What was that?
You're on the air. Who are we talking to? Yeah, say your name, darling.
Or any name.
Okay, and what can we do for you? Do you have a question for Michael?
Yes, I'm wondering what type of question am I supposed to ask, like a psychic question or a love and relationship questions? Or
whatever you want.
Hey, yep, blank check.
Anything you just want an idea of, just go ahead and I'll try to answer it the best I can, and maybe it'll shed some light.
Okay, I'm wanting insights right now into my relationship.
Pardon me?
I'm wanting insights into my relationship.
Uh-huh. And what's stopping you?
No, I'm wondering, like, what's going on? Like, what are his intentions?
You know, give us a little more background, and we've only got a few minutes, so what would you like an insight on?
Well, I just said his intentions.
Well, not knowing the gentleman? So you've got a gentleman who wants to be intimate with you?
No, we're already in a relationship.
Okay. And he's wanting to be more intimate, and what are his intentions?
Yes, I guess that's the same question.
Okay, so I mean, if you've been in a relationship with him and he's wanting to be more intimate, how do you feel about that? Are you feeling that spark, that energy with him?
Well, yes, of course I feel something, because why else would I be with him? I'm just,
well yeah. True. I, you know, this is a tough one because you know you're I'm not sure exactly what. Of course, it's hard to say what he wants from you. But if you've been with him for a while, and you're at a certain level of intimacy, and he wants to step it up, if you're comfortable with that, you guys need to you need to talk about it and make sure you're both at the same level and you're both comfortable with what direction he wants to take it and what direction you want to take it. Intimacy is a great thing, and the best thing about it is you guys have been together for a while. And
we haven't been together for a while. It's a fairly, really recent relationship.
It's a very recent relationship?
Yes.
So we talk in weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's fairly new. Well, then it's up to you to decide where you're comfortable. And regardless of what level you're comfortable at, make sure you're safe. You know, make sure that...
Are you a psychic or, like, no, or...
Oh,
no, we're not a psychic.
That's why I can't. That's what we're trying to tell you. I mean, I don't know where he's coming from because I don't know who he is, and I'm not a psychic.
Okay, well, I guess my other question about relationships would be, like, how long before a man knows that he wants to marry somebody? Like, is 7 years a long time? Like, should that person by now know they want to spend the rest of their life with someone, or...
That's a good question. That's a good question. I've been with my lover for 13, and we're not married.
13 years,
and we're deeply in love. We've thought about getting married. She's engaged to me. We're engaged. I want to give her the wedding she'll remember, because it's her second marriage. It's my second marriage. The reason we haven't done it is because we want to do it in the Caribbean, and I want to be able to afford to bring my family out. She wants to be able to afford to bring her family out. But our relationship is strong enough. I mean, I've got a tattoo of her naked on my body, so that's not going away ever unless I get it blacked out. She's got a tattoo of me, my signature, my art signature on her lower back, so that's never going anywhere. You know, that's better than a piece of paper, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I will give her the marriage she wants when we can afford to do it in style. I don't want to just rush out to marry her. I mean, technically we file and everything together tax-wise and stuff, so technically we're married, but we haven't gone through the ceremony because I want to make it right and beautiful. When does a man know?
Like, he knows pretty quickly after seven years.
After 7 years, I mean, have you talked to him about it?
Yeah, because
or
like,
are you just waiting for
like,
him?
No. Like, I've actually explained to him what I wanted, and he's very stubborn. Like, he never talks about his feelings. I'm like, and like every time I ask him a question, I'm like, do you see me 10 years like down the road in your life? Yes or no? Like, if no, then I will gladly remove myself from you instead of waste another 7 years, you know, being with you doing all this crap. And
so you're ready to jump on the married train. And
with him, yes.
And he's not willing to go there with you.
I don't know.
Verbally.
He never gives me an answer. It's like our relationship for 7 years has kind of been on again, off again. But the longest we spent apart was probably 6 months. And within those 7 years, I've actually had I was with different people.
Partners. Yeah.
Yeah, like I would go off and be with somebody else because he would say I was a free bird or whatever. So I would
go.
Well,
and he's probably been
with
other women also.
No, he never did. Like, I can guarantee for sure he never did.
Well, that says something about the man. And, you know, I'm not sure where he's coming from, but if you were taking breaks and being with other men, most men, and I don't know, Mark, if you can chime in here, he obviously has a lot of feelings for you. Or he's very busy and working
on
his.
No, it's like he's not very busy, but I think like the thing, what happened in the beginning was he lied about something. Like, he was basically talking to somebody else, like in the very beginning of a relationship. And I was here thinking, you know, he was honest. He never had like sex with her or anything. It was just like kind of, he would talk to her and whatever. So after that, I'm like, you know, if you did that to me, then, you know, you should see how it feels when someone does that to you. So I went and did that, and, like, after that, our relationship was on again, off again, because he just can't tell me what it is that
you know
he
what
wants.
This is what I feel. If tit for tat is going on in a relationship, the relationship's not going anywhere. Okay? If you feel the need to do something that you think he may have done to him and actually take it farther, then you know, I hate to say it, but you need to analyze what's good for you. And maybe you should move on. Because
That's how it all started. But after that, it was kind of more like he wasn't giving me what I needed. He wasn't giving me the emotional, like, he wouldn't talk about his feelings, or he wouldn't even, you know, say, yes, Alfina, I care about you. Yes, Alfina, I love you. It was, like, so hard. And I'm like, when I walk away, why is it you don't say no? You just basically sit there and don't say anything. So I go and when I'm in a relationship with another person, he constantly, like, you know, he'll start calling and saying all these things that, you know, he thinks I want to hear or whatever. And then I'll end up going back to him.
Well, hey, I got to jump in here real quick. I hate to cut anybody off, but we've only got a couple more minutes. But you got to say this. The way you feel about your relationship now is the main thing that matters. And if you've got these kind of feelings, then marriage is probably not the best thing to be thinking about. And you know, Michael and I are both going to share our contact information after this call. You're more than welcome to follow up with us after the show. I hate to be brief with you, but like I said, I got about 2 minutes and I got to start winding the show down. So, Michael, do you have anything else you want to share real quick before I take us back?
You know, what? The only thing I've got to say is if you're not getting what you need from him after 7 years, it's probably not a good thing. You know,
okay.
By now, your feelings should be, the way you're talking, the way you're talking about him and what he is and isn't doing for you, tells me it's not working for you, regardless of what he's thinking. I don't even have to hear what he's thinking because, you know, you're talking, well, what he's saying, what I think he needs, he thinks I need to hear. If that kind of stuff's going on, you guys, you know, it's time to find someone that makes you happy and you don't have these thoughts, because these thoughts will continue on, and that's not a way to base a new marriage or any marriage. Is to have those kind of thoughts in the back of your head. You know,
Nicole, thank you for being a part of our show. I hate to cut you off, but we got to wind it down. So please stay on the line, and we'll let you know how to contact us afterwards, okay? Michael,
did
thank you for sharing your insights. Nope, I muted the line. Like I said, I really hate to do that, especially at that point, but we got 3 minutes conclude. So we are live, and I wish I had more time, but she can follow up with us right afterwards, or whenever. And you were right on the money, by the way. Now, Michael, like I said, we got a few minutes. You've lit me up. I always love your insights and everything you share. Would you let our listeners know how can they follow up with you, get a copy of your book, and take advantage of the other services that you share with the world?
Sure. You can get my book at Amazon.com, and it's the Holy G hyphen Rail. You can also get it at HolyGWear.com. That's HolyGWear.com. Also on that website, you can view my artwork. There's a link to my art pages. And up in the upper left-hand corner, I do have a phone line. It is a paid phone line, but you can call from anywhere in the country. It's the G Matters corner, and it'll give you all the information on that area. But just go to holygware.com, and that'll give you all the information. And thank you, Mark, so very much for having me on. It's been wonderful. And Dolphina, I hope things work out for you.
Beautiful, Michael. And I think I'm going to need to say when I start the show that we're not a psychic show. So, you know, we're happy to take questions, but you got to give us a little more information so we can actually answer some questions here. But, well, Michael, I think we got about a minute and a half before I got to do the outro. So what nugget would you like to leave our listeners with?
What I'd say is you don't have to be a psychic to know that when people are in and out of a relationship and seeing other people and wondering how the other person feels and thinking they know how they feel, to know that maybe that's not the relationship for you.
I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, a relationship's all about the moment. You know, it's how you feel right now. It's the passion and the magic. I mean, marriage is a wonderful thing, but it's really a formality. I mean, I know a lot of people that have marriages with no relationships. And to be honest, I'd really rather have a relationship. And, you know, if you want to solidify it and formalize it with a marriage, then that's beautiful. But, you know, but you got to keep your relationship at the forefront. And it's all about right now, in this instance. And if you let anything take precedence over your connection and your sensuality and your fulfillment, then you're kind of putting a wedge in that most amazing experience that life has to offer.
That's right. And one last quick moment thing I forgot about. Tomorrow, if you're in the Denver, Colorado area, the store Connections at the Southwest Mall, it's on the corner of Wadsworth and Broadway. I'm the featured artist. I'll be working on a mural there, Friday. That information is at Connections on Facebook. But I'll be working on a mural. All my artwork's there, and there's a lot of beautiful artwork and sculpture in that store. I just wanted to let that, and that's Friday.
I wish that I could be in Denver.
That'll be Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. There'll be
music,
food, wine. Yeah, thank you. Back to the art
side. My pleasure, Michael. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's time for me to close this out. So, Michael, thank you for being the guest on Her Unfolding Journey. Keep shining your light, and I know you and I are going to connect again soon.
Thank you so much. Peace.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Her Unfolding Journey with your host, Mark Semple. Mark honors and appreciates each and every woman for who is allowing her journey to unfold. He is here every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio and encourages you to join him. For more information on Mark, please visit his websites at www.hereunfoldingjourney.com. herunfoldingjourney.com and www.thismanknowspassion.com. May you always see the gift of what you bring into this world.